Holy One, take our minds and think to them. Take our mouths and speak to them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you and all whom we encounter along the way. Amen. Last Thursday evening, Amanda, the girls, and I were walking up the hill to Sagamore Hills Elementary School to the annual student art show. Like most of our parking lot to destination transitions, the journey went a little something like this. I was leading off with my long, purposeful strides. The girls were lingering or lollygagging as they stopped to either be distracted by or marvel upon, depending on how you choose to interpret their behavior. All of the magnificent detritus that had befallen the walkway in light of the recent rain between the van and the school. And Amanda was, of course, the connective intermediary, urging me to slow down and the girls to hurry up. When we reached the top of the hill, one of the girls' classmates greeted us and asked Amanda, "Why does Lucy have yellow paint on her nose?" We looked, and sure enough, Lucy's nose was covered in a thick yellow veneer. Upon further inspection, it turned out to be a rather pervasive coating of pollen from one of the flowers that she had stopped to smell along the way. Pollen is everywhere this time of year, even it seems on my daughter's face. "Dust in the wind," the rock group Kansas said. "Dust in the wind," to paraphrase, so it seems that all that is this time of year is dust in the wind. And even though we have had intermittent rain showers so as to keep the pollen levels somewhat in abeyance, I know from speaking with many of you, even this morning, that it has still been a vexing irritant and general annoyance. But my question is this: where is the pollen in today's gospel reading? I have to admit that I really cannot expect the writer of John's gospel to be, in addition to a magnificent cosmological evangelist, an equally elegant expert in botanical reproductive rites. But this vine and branches metaphor is so elaborate and beautiful that I hesitate to point out its limitations. "I am the vine, you are the branches." I love that. Love it. I can totally get into this idea that my existence sprouts off from the existence of Jesus and vicariously through him from God as well. And I think it always bears pointing out when reading the Gospels that they really would have been better if they had been written in the southern United States. Because, of course, we all know that 99% of the time when Jesus says you are the branches, what Jesus really means is y'all. And more specifically, he means all y'all. You know, all y'all's the plural of y'all, right? So when you hear this famous passage or many of Jesus' teaching, "I am the vine and you are the branches," in your head, translate that. Do a little southern translation. "I am the vine and all y'all are the branches." Trust me, if you do that, if you look at those plural yous through that southern lens, it'll remind you that the gospel truly is proclaimed to all the world and not just the person with the book in their hand. But this gospel is not just about the connection between the vine grower and the vine and the branches. If it was, I probably wouldn't even comment on the pollen. But this gospel is about bearing fruit. And to be more horticulturally precise, it's about the flowering of the vine through the branches so that the flowers may pollinate and bear fruit. But what John doesn't say, perhaps because John didn't know, is that no true vine, no branch, no tree, no matter how good the soil or the sap or the sower, no tree can bear fruit on its own. That is, without cross-pollinating with another plant. And thus my question remains, where is the pollen in today's gospel? If the expectation is fruit, you have to put up with this mess. And I'm no fan of pollen. I'm probably as full up on FloNase and antihistamines as some of you this morning. But whether the writer of John's gospel realizes or not, Jesus' metaphor needs some pollen. And that's where I believe the letter from 1 John comes in. Perhaps there was a botanist on the lectionary committee. Beloved, hear with me again the words that Claude read. Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that God loved us. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. The love of which the writer of 1 John speaks is the very pollen that enables the bearing of the fruit that Jesus commands us, commands all y'all, to do in John's gospel. You can be a beautiful branch full of the divine sap that has been freely shared with you, but if that goodness is not shared, if it is not given away in order to create a space in you where life and love may be received in return, then there will be simply no fruit. The New Testament scholar D. Moody Smith puts it this way: the metaphor of the vine and the branches represents the unity of Jesus and the disciples. The unity is a given, but it does not exist apart from the disciples' own participation. Jesus is both the one who commands them to abide and bear fruit, and the one who enables them to do so. Their bearing of fruit is proof that they are Jesus' disciples. Jesus has linked discipleship with mutual love. The abiding and bearing fruit of which Jesus speaks is the mutuality of love amongst the disciples. But please, when you read this New Testament scholarship, when you hear it, when you hear me read it, don't just hear the term the disciples to mean the 12 that followed Jesus around 2,000 years ago. We are Jesus' disciples in this age. And the expectation to love and to be all-loving as God is all-loving is an expectation upon us as well. And that is why I say that this love of which the writer of 1 John speaks is the pollen of the story Jesus tells in John's gospel. Because it is messy. It is messy. Would that we could see God's love like those yellow rivulets running down the gutters every spring in the world. This love, this pollen, is messy and irritating and invasive and upsetting. And there are times when this pollen of being called to love as God has loved us may make us feel that our bodies are physically rejecting it as if it were some spiritual histamine causing us to choke or gag at the thought of loving some who are our sisters and brothers in Christ. But here again, the writer of 1 John, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, And whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because God first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The love we share is a foretaste of the fruit we bear. And so there is God, and there is Jesus, and there is us. There is a vine, and there are branches, and there is fruit. So much fruit. But before fruit, there is first pollen. So much pollen. And it is gloriously messy. You are given a bath when you become a Christian. You are given a bath, and then you are anointed with oil. But after that, it gets messy. Gloriously messy. And that is why we are church. To spread the perfect messiness of the love of God with the world, all of it, to every person, no exceptions. At least that's what it says in my Bible and in my prayer book. Listen how the poet Charles Singer says it in his poem, Tree. Look at me, Lord, with my arms spread out, my hands open, and my heart is filled with goodness. I am as a tree. I'm even bigger than the tree in the wood because, Lord, I bear fruit in all seasons, even in winter when skies are gray and cold seizes the earth and its people, and it is in an icy grip. Look at me, Lord, I am a tree, and I say to everyone I meet, come and eat the fruit of my tree. Come and share my smile if sadness has brought you down. Come and taste my forgiveness if malice has enveloped you. Come and pick my friendship if fear has seized you. Come and taste my joy if misfortune has wounded you. Come to my tree and help yourself, for I am rooted in an eternal spring that never runs dry. Look at me, Lord, just as you ask, I am a tree which bears good fruit.